In that period between the infancy of the Lord Jesus Christ and the start of his public ministry, the Bible is largely silent over what happened during that period. But we do know that the Lord Jesus Christ had time to study at least three books. The book of God, in the days of Jesus, the Old Testament scriptures. The book of nature, in the world around him. And also the book of the human heart. The human heart, naturally fallen and sinful and rebellious, and yet capable of experiencing the redeeming, cleansing, transforming power of God's grace. So it strikes us that when we read in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, of Jesus describing those who hear the word of God with a noble and good heart, keep it, keep the word, and bear fruit with patience. The question that comes to our mind surely is, well, how does the heart become a noble and good heart? Is your heart this morning naturally a noble and good heart? Or must your heart know something of God's grace, the work of his Holy Spirit? Must God work in your heart to make it a noble and good heart? That's a very important question, because the startling answer of the Bible to the question, how does the heart become a noble and good heart, is that the human heart is not naturally a noble and good heart. For a heart to be a noble and good heart, it must know the gracious and supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. God must work in the human heart to make it a noble and good heart. So those are the two areas I want to explore with you this morning. And the first, then, is to think about the human heart by nature. The heart that you're born with. The natural heart. What is it like? You understand, I'm not talking now about the physical organ, the heart that pumps the blood around the body. I'm talking about the heart, as the Bible describes it, the control center of your life. Like a control tower in an airport controls all that goes on there. And there was all that turmoil a few months ago when those drones were spotted at Gatwick Airport. The control tower had to cancel flights coming in, flights taking off, because of the dangers of those drones that were flying around. The control tower directs everything that goes on in the airport. The Bible uses that sort of picture to describe the human heart. The human heart, the control center of your life. What makes you tick, the real you? What is that heart like, naturally? And what I want to do this morning is call on three witnesses from the Bible, like you hear a witness in a court of law describing an incident. Well, I want to call on three witnesses to describe for us this morning, what is the human heart like by nature? What is your heart? What is my heart like naturally? And the first witness I want to call on is the prophet Jeremiah. Quite some time ago now, we looked at the book of Jeremiah, and we discovered there in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, that Jeremiah describes the human heart. He's living in a situation where people now, in the days of Jeremiah, begin to receive the light of God's word about what the human heart is really like. God had come to his ancient people in slavery in Egypt, wonderfully delivered them by his grace and power. God had given them his law, his Ten Commandments. Yet in spite of it all, the nation turned to idolatry, worshipping the false gods of Canaan and the lands around, until God judged the people and sent them into exile. And so Jeremiah begins to write about the human condition. In chapter 17, verse 1, he says, "The sin of Judah, the sin of the people of Judah, is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. It is engraved on the tablet of their heart." Jeremiah speaks of them worshipping false gods. He says, what is the human heart like? Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So our first witness is giving us a very clear but a horrific description of the human heart. By nature, says Jeremiah, the human heart is deceitful. It's certainly not naturally a noble and good heart. It's deceitful above anything you can imagine, says Jeremiah. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so God throws out that challenge. Who can truly, fully, and accurately know the depths of deceitfulness of the human heart? God says through Jeremiah, I, the Lord, search the heart. The human heart is so superlatively deceitful that only an all-knowing God can fully plumb its depths. That's the heart you and I were born with. The human heart by nature, not noble and good, but says the Bible, the human heart by nature, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Bible, a very honest book, gives us then that description of the human heart. So let me call a second witness, the Apostle Paul. Now we're in the New Testament and in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. Jeremiah from the Old Testament describes the human heart, deceitful, desperately wicked. Here's Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 2 verse 5. He describes the human heart. In accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, says the Apostle Paul, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath, God's righteous anger, in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now here's a man who at one time thought that if he was in the right place at the right time, doing the right things, dressed in the right way, then he was right before God. Here was a man who thought religion was all external. If you're in Kensett Church this morning, dressed in an appropriate way, turning up at the right time, saying the right things, then you're right before God. It's all external. And then God showed the Apostle Paul what his heart was really like. And when God showed Paul what his heart was really like, you find that Paul's assessment changes completely. He'd been Saul of Tarsus, Saul the proud, self-sufficient Pharisee. He thought he was right before God as he was, naturally. But then when God shows him his heart, he realizes he needs a savior. And Saul becomes Paul, the humble, believing, Christ-like disciple. He says, when God showed me my heart, I know that in me nothing good dwells, says Paul. My heart is not naturally good. That had become a matter of deep, inward, experimental, personal, spiritual knowledge. Paul says his heart was hard, impenitent. In other words, not willing to say sorry. Not willing to say sorry much to anybody in this world. Certainly not willing to say sorry to God. So he says, in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart. Is the heart naturally a noble and good heart? The Apostle Paul says, when God looks on you and me, he doesn't see a noble and good heart naturally. No, when God looks at the human heart, by nature, what he sees is a hard heart. An impenitent heart, stubborn. Treasuring up his wrath, his righteous judgment against our sins. So Jeremiah, the Apostle Paul, both of them agree the human heart by nature is not a noble and good heart. Let's call on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What does Jesus say about the human heart? If you find it a bit difficult to believe what Jeremiah says or what the Apostle Paul says, well, what about Jesus? What does he say? Well, in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23, the Lord Jesus describes the human heart by nature. This is page 678. Jesus said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man, makes him unclean. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man." Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus knew all men and women. He had no need to testify of men and women. He knew what was in the human heart. So when the Lord Jesus speaks of the human heart by nature, he's speaking with all the omniscience of God. He's speaking with someone who can see into the depths of the human heart. And here, in Mark chapter 7, he's debating with religious people who, again, had become very external in their thinking. They were just concerned about the outside. It was all a matter of outward appearance and show. So for these religious leaders that Jesus is speaking to, if they went to the marketplace and you wanted to buy some figs, what if a Gentile had first touched some of the figs you wanted to buy? What if those figs, without you washing them and washing your hands, made you ceremonially unclean, unclean on the outside? You might be contaminated by touching something that had been touched by a Gentile dog. Imagine the holy body of a Jewish leader eating something that a Gentile has touched. Horror of horrors. That's how these religious leaders thought. The way they were thinking was, all that matters is the external, the outside. So Jesus shows them the foolishness of that thinking by describing the heart. He's saying to them that they've got things the wrong way round. He's saying, you think defilement comes, making you unclean, when something from the outside touches your body. No, says Jesus, it's the absolute opposite. What matters is the inside, the heart. Where does sin, where does evil, defilement come from? It doesn't come from outside, it comes from inside, says Jesus. For from within, out of the heart of men, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. So is Jesus teaching the inherent goodness and nobility of the human heart? He clearly is not. What he's teaching is the inherent sinfulness of the human heart. Because the Lord Jesus understands what's in your heart and mine this morning. Jesus is saying, here's the human condition. By nature, human beings do not have a noble and good heart. In fact, their hearts are the fountain of sin. Whether it's the obvious, gross sins of sexual immorality or murder or theft, or the not so obvious sins, more refined sins of pride or sinful self-sufficiency, living without God. What's the human heart by nature? The witnesses all agree. Jeremiah, the Apostle Paul, Jesus himself. By nature, the human heart is sinful. So you now see we have a problem. If it's only the noble and good heart that savingly receives the word of God and brings forth fruit, how do you get a noble and good heart? If Jeremiah and Paul and Jesus are telling us that the human heart is sinful by nature, then naturally your heart will never embrace the word of God when it tells you to deny yourself, take up the cross, follow Jesus. It will never cause you to be committed in faith to an unseen Jesus Christ, to live for a heaven that is out of sight. Live by God's laws embodied in the Ten Commandments. To identify with the despised and rejected Saviour and admit that the cross of the incarnate God is your only hope for forgiveness in this world and the next. and that to put your trust in Jesus Christ is the only way to be accepted before a holy God. See, the Bible is saying God has got to do something to the heart. So we had better all settle this in our minds this morning. If the heart is to become a noble and good heart, God is going to have to do something. You're not going to be able to do this naturally yourself. Now, that's not saying that every person is as bad as he or she could possibly be. No. The Bible describes degrees of sinful behavior, degrees of abandonment, degrees of hardness of heart. But the Bible is saying, by nature, what is the human heart like? By nature, the human heart is not a noble and good heart. By nature, the heart is sinful. And to change it, God must do something. God must graciously work by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's the human heart by nature. Let's think secondly about the human heart then by grace. What happens when God works by the power of the Holy Spirit to change the human heart? We've sung about it in many of the hymns that we've sung this morning. Change my heart, O Lord. That song is admitting right at the start, something must happen to the heart. It must be changed. God must change it, if ever it's going to be made right before God. How does God work by the Holy Spirit to change the heart? Change the heart in such a way that it receives his word, becomes a noble and good heart. Well, like we had three witnesses, Jeremiah, Paul, Jesus, let me describe to you three ways in which God works by the Holy Spirit in the human heart. First, softens. God begins to work by first softening the naturally hard heart. So when you hear words about God, about sin, about repentance, about faith, about forgiveness, about mercy, about grace, about heaven, about hell, what happens is when God begins to work in the heart, he begins to soften the heart so that you hear more than just words. You begin to think seriously about what the Bible says. You take the Bible, the Word of God, seriously. It's not just words anymore. It begins to have meaning and an effect in your heart and life. Now, that's not something that happens naturally. God must do that by the work of the Spirit. Listen to the Bible's description. Ephesians 4, verse 18. It talks about people who have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. See, like the mole I was describing. We are like spiritual moles, says the Bible. We are blind to the light. We don't see it. We don't want it. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The human heart naturally turns away from the light. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So what's the first work that God does in grace? God begins to soften the naturally hard heart. God works by the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens in the language of Jesus to Nicodemus? Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't believe in order to be born again. You are born again, said Jesus, that you might see, that you might believe, that you might enter the kingdom of God. If your heart is to be a good and noble heart, it's because the Holy Spirit must first soften the heart, give you grace to hear and to believe and receive the great truths of the gospel. Not just words, 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 but now something that begins to affect the heart. Has your heart ever been convicted, stirred up, made to think about eternity and being right before God? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, softening the heart. Then, secondly, opens, softens, opens. God must open the naturally hard heart. John 3:19-20, Jesus says, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed." There we are again, like spiritual moles, hating the light, loving the dark tunnels of the sinful heart. Anything that looks like a ray of light in that darkness, we run away from it. We dig a tunnel to get away from the light. And all of us naturally would run and run and run and dig and dig and dig until we end up in outer darkness forever. And that's what hell is, says the Bible. The ultimate end of that dark tunnel for spiritual moles who hate the light. Outer darkness forever. And that's where we're headed unless God's sovereign grace intervenes. And God softens the heart, and then God opens the heart to receive this message of light and salvation. So there is a woman in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, called Lydia. Lydia, her heart begins to be softened as she hears the gospel through the Apostle Paul. And then Acts 16, verse 14, we read, "The Lord opened her heart." And she believed. She trusted in Jesus Christ. God had softened her heart, and then God opened her heart. Softens, opens, and then thirdly, makes new. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. Ezekiel describing now this work of God in the heart. God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them." What makes this noble and good heart? Ezekiel says, God does something by the Holy Spirit. God gives a new heart. So in hearing the message of God's mercy and grace in Jesus Christ, seeing something of the glory of Jesus Christ, who he is as the Son of God, embracing, believing, trusting in Jesus as the Lord and Savior and King, God gives a new heart. Now, it's not in the power of any preacher or vicar or bishop or anyone else to give that human heart a new heart. No human being can do it. No ritual can do it. No amount of water applied by human hands can change the human heart. No, the clear, the flesh-withering answer of the Bible is, if your naturally hard heart is going to be changed, then God has got to do it. "I will give you a new heart," says God. So if you're not a Christian here this morning, if you never received God's word into your heart, you see what this does for human pride. It cuts human pride at the root. Whatever opinions you have of yourself, the Bible truth is, the heart that you're born with is a sinful heart. And you need to cry to God, "God, give me a new heart. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Only you can plumb its depths, Lord. Give me a new heart. My heart is an artesian well of all sorts of sin, unrefined and refined, outward and inward, gross and respectable. Give me a new heart." It's hard and impenitent naturally. In the heart dwells no good thing. "Lord, give me a new heart. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Take out the heart of stone. Give me a new heart. Give me a heart of flesh. Give me a heart that sees the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Give me a heart that sees the beauty and the desirability and wonder of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Give me a heart that wants to love the Savior and live for him and keep his law as it's summed up in the Ten Commandments. Give me a new heart that wants to trust the Savior and that brings forth fruit with patience." You see, this cuts human pride. It says only God can do that. And you cry to God. You say, "Lord, change my heart." And if you've never done that, You go in faith to Jesus Christ. You go to him now. You go to him earnestly, and you go to him penitently, and you go to him turning from your sins, and you go to him honestly, and you say, Lord Jesus, give me a new heart. And if you go to Jesus like that, he will never turn you away. And if you're a Christian here this morning, and I ask you the question, what made your heart a noble and good heart? You can remember when your heart was hard. You can remember when you heard the gospel and you didn't give it a second thought. You can remember a time when you heard of Jesus Christ and you thought, why should I believe in him? And you look back and you think, how is it that that indifferent, careless, rebellious state, how come you were convicted and changed? How come you started to be concerned about heaven and hell and sin and righteousness and forgiveness